It's that time again. Yeah.
Don't kill us.
Ya la hora.
Getting burly here now.
You know, power hour.
Talk dirt. I can't hear. Shalom, shalom, Most High Christ bless.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear us?
Mike can't hear us.
Mike. Mike, we need you, Michael.
They put it on the TV. Bless
when you pray. There's one interpretation, man, it's say what it say. Gavin el tiempo, entra para el templo. Aprende del maestro con talento. La Biblia es el centro. Usando a Israel. We can hear each other, but we can't hear like the music. We can barely hear it. And a little bit better.
We can still, now we can hear ourselves better. It's like you just raised the
yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yep.
Now I sound hot too, but whatever.
Mike's hot here. Yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward. Yeah, history is the word. It's the power hour. The learn hour. Tune in to your history. You know what it means. Power hour. The learn hour.
I don't know, you gotta just figure it out. You gotta move it.
Leave it alone.
Hey, Shalom Israel, Most High Christ bless. Welcome back to the Power Hour. I am Officer Zara.
Hey, Officer Nehemiah.
And Soldier Eric.
Big 5-0, we got Officer Nehemiah up in here.
That's
all
right.
Crazy.
Hey,
bro.
Shalom, everybody. Hey.
Welcome back, bro. Welcome back. It's been a while, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's been a long time coming. You know, I'm back in full effect.
Right. All praise to the Most High, right? So this is the Power Hour. Welcome back. We are out here to teach our so-called people, the so-called Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, who they are according to the Bible, all right?
That's right.
Who they are according to the Bible. The mic sounds weird, by the way. Just so y'all know, I see. But all praise to the Most High. Happy Sabbath, Israel. Hey, so this past week, you know, a lot of videos coming out pretty much about a lot of things going on, dealing with us as a people, right? You know, when the summer comes, a lot of police brutality things come out to where a lot of things that's affecting us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this sounds weird, bro. But anyway, so you know how you watch videos of police shootings or different things dealing with black people, like a article or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. You always go to the comments. There's always, always a white person saying that person never done this or that person never done that, right? So say like a black guy gets shoot like 10 times, right? Like the video you just watched, right? It's always someone is trying to justify why he's getting shot, right? It's always some kind of justification, right? So it's the same thing. Like, yeah, it's better. So say like if you see a video of someone going in and stealing something, right? Or just any small little thing, right? Any small thing, they'll try to justify them killing that person.
Right.
Like, they always justify. Go ahead.
Like, there was a Moab son and father that chased a young black man out. Grabbing water, they thought he stole it, and they shot him too. Mm-hmm. And they went back and showed the video, thinking, "Oh yeah, he stole waters, but it wouldn't matter what he stole; he still didn't deserve to get killed."
Right. The punishment, the crime doesn't fit the punishment.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what it is. The crime doesn't fit the punishment. It's always they're trying to, you know, if you steal, you should go to jail. You don't deserve death because you stole some little candy bar with, you know, a little hair or something at the store.
All right.
So the crime don't fit the punishment.
Right.
All right. Oh, yeah. So the title of this class is Rule of Conduct of White People, right? So we're going to go to, like, the conduct of how white people, which is so-called white people, which is Esau today. Esau, that's their biblical name, right? Edomites. That is their biblical name, right? So we're going to look at their conduct, how they conduct themselves, how they think, right? So let's get Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 1 real quick. Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 1. So understand that what we have been taught all our lives dealing with this Bible and Christianity, it's wrong. It's completely wrong, a bunch of lies, right? So we're going to get a little bit of knowledge of what the truth is according to the Bible. Read.
This is the book of Ezekiel, chapter 35 and verse 1. Mm-hmm. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir.
So this is a prophecy, right? It says, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, right? So let's see who Mount Seir is. Give me Genesis 36 and 8. Genesis 36 and 8, right? So that's what we're about to do. We're doing precept upon precept, right? That's how you read the Bible, right? You have to get a little here and a little there, right, to get understanding of the Bible. Of course, you can read it through chronologically, but there's other deep mysteries and understanding that you can get by doing precept upon precept. So give me that Genesis 36 and 8.
This is the book of Genesis, chapter 36 and verse 8. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir.
Mm-hmm.
Esau is Edom.
So Esau is Edom, and Esau is Mount Seir. So go back to the Ezekiel 35. So we let you know that the so-called white man is Esau today, right? They are Esau today in the Bible. They haven't been destroyed, right? They like to say that what Esau's
he's done away with,
right? Done away with. They're gone and dead. Right. No.
There is no end to the people.
Right.
So give me that. Read that Ezekiel 35:1 again.
This is the book of Ezekiel, chapter 35 and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir.
Set thy face against Mount Seir. So obviously God has an issue with these people, Mount Seir, a so-called white man, Esau, right?
And prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee.
Wait a minute. So God said he's against a nation of people? God said that he's against these people.
Read out. And I will stretch out mine hand against thee. And I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord God. I'm sorry, that I am the Lord.
So understand this, right? Understand this, that the Most High God, he's against these nations
Bring
of people.
Out.
He's is against them, right? And so understand that, you know, this is Old Testament. A lot of people might say, we're about the New Testament. We're in the New Testament, right? But Malachi 3:6 tells you that Most High doesn't change, right?
Right?
He has that same mind, right? So keep reading.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity.
So this nation of people, the so-called white man, has a perpetual hatred against and has shed the blood of the children of Israel, which is us. They have a perpetual hatred towards us, and you see that today. You see it just in the comments, right? So, hey, play this video real quick.
Hey,
go ahead.
Perpetual. A lot of that's not an average Negro word,
mm-hmm.
so a lot of people don't know what that means. That means forever,
exactly,
right.
Exactly. Actually, finish the scripture out, verse five,
finishing out. In the time that their iniquity had an end.
All right. So go ahead, play this video for me.
I got the definition as well. You want to read perpetual?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead.
This is the definition of perpetual. Never ending or changing.
Never ending or changing. So that means from here all the way to this day, they have that perpetual hatred for us.
Right. And you about to say something?
I was going
to
read number two.
Go ahead.
Number two. Occurring repeatedly.
Mm.
So frequent as to seem endless or uninterrupted.
Mm. Right. So you might think in your mind, oh, these people can change or whatever. No. This is how the Most High God has made them. They have a perpetual hatred towards us,
right?
Go ahead and play the video.
A TikToker by the name of I Am 10 Toes spoke out about breaking generational racism among his folks. Check it out.
I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret about white people. Every single white person knows somebody who is racist. Racist towards black people, racist towards Spanish people. We all know somebody. It might be our family member, might be a distant relative, might be a coworker, might be an old friend, but we all know somebody. Personally, I come from a whole family of racist people. Yeah, my entire family is Republican too, okay? My dad's parents are racist, and my mom's parents are racist.
Mother.
Okay, so I'm literally going against everything by talking about this. I am putting my own life on the line by speaking about this, and that's what we all should be doing. See, we could have ended this a long time ago, but people like my mom listened to these racist comments that their parents were making and didn't speak out against it. They kept their mouth shut, or they agreed with them silently, you know?
Hey,
but they didn't do anything.
Pause it real quick. So, if y'all want to comment, y'all can. But in the beginning, he said this is a generational thing where this is passed down, this is learned, right? Mm-hmm. So understand that this generation is passed down. These are learned behaviors because they have a perpetual hatred, right? So it's always going to be fed into their children's children's children. It's always going to be fed into them like that, right? And they have it in their nature to have that perpetual hatred
exactly
towards us, right? And so he said that he might end up losing his own life for this. So who knows the extremes that these people will go through
right.
for going against their own people, right? For even saying this, what he's saying. So he knows that these people can go to the extreme dealing with this. You had something, sir?
No. I was agreeing what you were saying. That perpetual hatred. That's why he said that he literally said that he knows somebody because it's never going to be ending. It's never going to stop.
Right. And so I want you to always keep in mind what I'm saying through this whole hour that we got, right? I said this is a perpetual hatred that they have and that this is generation where it's a learned behavior, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's trying to break it, but he's not going to be able to break it, right? Just remember, this is a learned behavior. And so
you got to really think about it, too, with him. He probably just came across a situation
mm-hmm.
that would make him racist. You know,
right.
It's in him. It's already mm-hmm. bred it in him.
Right.
It's just a situation has to present itself for him to be like, nah, you know,
right.
I don't like Blackie that much.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He'd be calling, let the right circumstances happen, he'd be calling somebody a nigga.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm
right.
saying.
Hey, can you give me the image of the article that I had sent? The hearts and the guts of white people? Yes. Can you read this soldier, please, sir?
The hearts and guts of white people. Ethics, ignorance, and the physiology of white racism.
By
Shannon Sullivan,
right?
Abstract.
Go down. We don't got to read all this. I want this paragraph right here. Right there. No, go right there where it says whites. Yeah.
Whites experience genuine cognitive difficulties in recognizing certain behavior patterns as racist.
So it says they experience genuine cognitive difficulties in recognizing certain behavior patterns as racist, right? So white people, so-called white people, right, they go throughout their day doing certain behaviors to where they don't think it is racist.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, it is racist, right? And so we're going to get what cognitive difficulties is. Deacon had went over recently, but keep reading.
So that quite apart from questions of motivation and bad faith, they will be morally handicapped simply from the conceptual point of view in seeing and doing the right thing.
Meaning that they will be ignore the obvious things that's
right.
happening, right, with getting shot down or police brutality, so they can make sure they feel better morally, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're handicapped mentally because they don't want to look at what's going on and look at what the history of what their people have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like with slavery, right?
Sure.
They know that the atrocities that have happened to us as a people, but they try to turn a blind eye to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They try to take it out of the public schools, right? Part of it, right? So give me that next link, please, sir.
Hey, officer.
Go ahead.
And they also try to make it a crime or make it illegal for you to even talk to their children about it
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to say that it has a negative effect on their children in the school system.
Right, right. Morally, right?
Right.
Right. Yes. What is cognitive dissonance? Signs, symptoms, and triggers. Scroll down for me. Not everyone practices what they preach, and that could trigger poor mental health. Cognitive dissonance is a physiological conflict a person experiences when they hold simultaneous...
Simultaneous.
Yeah, read for me, please, sir.
Not everyone practices what they preach, and that could trigger poor mental health. Cognitive dissonance is the psychological conflict a person experiences when they hold simultaneous conflicting attitudes, beliefs, or behaviors. If left unchecked, it could lead to anxiety and mental tension. And you might even try to rationalize harmful actions.
So it says they might even try to rationalize harmful actions. So right. In their mind, they're going to ignore certain things. Why? So they can make sure that they're straight. They don't want to go through the issues that they have, right? So it's kind of like when the stock market crashed, right?
Yeah.
Who blowing their heads up, right? They blowing their heads off, right? Because they can't take it, right? Well, with us, we have that mental fortitude, but they don't have it. What you got?
Right. Well, they got money already. So when they start to lose their money, they jump out the window. Mm-hmm. We ain't got no money. So when we ain't got no money, we just ain't got no money.
Hey, we make the best of it. Right?
Like we always do. It's not a big deal. What you were talking about,
if we ain't got the money for the bill, it just ain't going to get paid.
Like, we cross that bridge when we come to it. But this is the definition of white fragility. Mm-hmm. It's discomfort and defensiveness on the part of a white person when confronted by information about racial inequality and injustice. Mm-hmm. That's what you was just saying about don't talk to our kids about slavery because it makes them feel uncomfortable, even though they the ones that did it.
Right. Right.
It's that same. I don't know if you're going to get it or not, but it's that same spirit of like King.
Mm-hmm. You can get it. I don't have it.
It's that same. I ain't going to pull on that to be deep because I only got the hour. But it's like that spirit of Cain just running from that judgment. You know what I mean?
Right. Go ahead.
Somebody was saying something in the back. I thought Nathaniel was saying something.
No, I don't think he was.
But it's that same spirit, man. It's that same spirit from Cain to Esau. They running from their crimes. They don't want to deal with their crimes. They don't want to take accountability for what they did. So. Right.
Fugitive and a vagabond.
Right.
Right, and keep in mind, too, our people, we deal with the same thing, right? Because like, a lot of times when we, like the police brutality, right? A lot of our people, we don't want to watch the videos where they feel like it'll bring negativity on us.
Right.
Which, of course, it is. You know, it's trauma towards us, but we have to understand what's going on with us as a people, right? We can't ignore the issues that's going on with us as a people, right?
Right.
Can you finish reading? For example, right? Like let's say slavery, right? When we went on those slave ships, right?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta just think about it, how we were packed in like sardines, right? Where we have like the wood of the ship, you know, splinters poking mm-hmm. our skin, right. You know, feces, people peeing on you, where you have a dead person right there, right next to you, and you smelling all that, ingesting all that, those chemicals, whatever it is, right? Those fumes. Think about how that affects you, and then. A lot of times people don't want to think about those certain things, right? Even Esau, right? They don't want to think about that, what they had done. Even when we got off the plantation, right? They didn't show any favor to the young or the old, right? They didn't do it. But go ahead.
Here's what you need to know about cognitive dissonance and how to seek the proper care. What is cognitive dissonance? Cognitive dissonance is an uneasiness you feel when you have conflicting beliefs. For example, people may feel cognitive dissonance if they enjoy drinking alcohol, despite knowing too much may be bad for their health.
Let's get down to the next part. What are the signs?
What are the signs and symptoms of cognitive dissonance?
Mm-hmm.
A key part of cognitive dissonance is the
Drop down to the bullet points.
Bullet points. Embarrassment. Embarrassment over feeling wrong about the beliefs they previously held.
Mm-hmm.
Shame or regret about past actions or decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Guilt for hiding or something they believe is wrong. Discomfort for doing something that contradicts what they believe.
That sounds like Christianity when they finally mm-hmm. learn the truth, too,
Bring
right?
It out.
Hey, this plays a heavy part in a lot of people, right? Let's go to the next article, please, sir. Next article, please. It was Three Faces of Racism.
That's right, dude.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
The Three Faces of Racism. What am I reading? I need to scroll down. The Three Faces of Racism. Inadvertent, habitual, and explicit.
Scroll down. Go back up. Read that.
Why are black people stopped by police more than white people? Is it simply the actions of an explicitly racist contingent, or is there something more nuanced at play?
Right. So a lot of people know about black people being arrested more than white people are being stopped.
Right, right.
But it does, like, the when you compare the stats and all that, it lines up to where they have a racist agenda.
Right, right, right. Like a, just real talk. I remember NWA when they came out in 89.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about them killing us in the street, the police,
right,
and
right.
It's still going on to this day. That was 30 years ago. So
mm-hmm.
It's a perpetual.
Right. Go ahead.
Cognitive dissonance is at the heart of insidious prejudice, write Barrett Brogard and Demetria Gatzia. Imagine that Max claimed to be a committed environmentalist, but continues to consume animal products. Since animal agriculture is one of the main causes of climate change, you may be inclined to think of him as a hypocrite. A hypocrite, after all, is someone who professes to hold beliefs one does not hold.
Hey, can you give me Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3? Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3, please.
This is the book of Obadiah.
Read verse 1 real quick.
This is the book of Obadiah, chapter 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom.
So the book of Obadiah is a prophecy dealing with Edom. It concerns Edom, which is what your so-called white man today, right? So jump to verse 3.
Verse 3. The pride of thine heart have deceived thee.
So it says that the pride of thy heart have deceived thee, right? So Esau is a prideful people, right? And so you have to understand that when you talk to them or listen to them, right, they'll start say certain things to where they have this pride about America,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
They say that God is with America and that they're going to keep continue growing and growing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see that in comments, right? And so most especially with the Republicans, right? You see that with the MAGA people and all that, make America great again because we're trying to move forward, right? They say all that, right? But it says the pride of thy heart has deceived.
The white pride worldwide up here.
And I talk to a lot of Edomites, bro. They real proud. They like to talk about things that they have, their
mm-hmm.
houses. Bro, I even ran into an Edomite, said he got a jet fighter, bro. His own jet.
Bro,
you can't make this up, man.
But it says, the pride of thy heart have deceived thee, right? So they trust in their pride because it's what they know. It's what they know. They believe in God, that God is for them because
what has
happened towards us, right, and how they are prospering now. But it says that it has deceived thee because they think that God is on their side. But
mm-hmm.
the God of Israel, the God of this Bible, is not on their side at all. They deceived them all, their own selves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greek.
The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee,
mm-hmm.
thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock.
And that's where you get what the Caucasus Mountains,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the cleft of the rock. The
caveman.
That's Esau. That's Esau today. That's the so-called white man. Read.
Whose habitation is high,
uh-huh.
that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?
And that's that pride right there. Who's going to bring me down to the ground? Who's going to destroy America, right? Because America is standing up forever.
Right.
That's how they're thinking in their mind.
Not only that, who's going to hold me accountable and make me responsible for all these crimes and atrocities that I committed throughout the earth?
Right.
Throughout slavery all the way up until now.
Right.
Right, saying the same thing. Go ahead.
Give me
because they think they're God. That's why.
Right.
All right, give me Jeremiah 49:16. This is a precept to this. Jeremiah 49:16.
Yes, sir.
Precept to that Obadiah 1:3. Still going into that pride that they have. Jeremiah.
This is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49 and verse 16. Thy terribleness have deceived thee,
mm-hmm.
and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock.
So it's saying the same thing. They have that pride and that terribleness has deceived thee, right? All their wicked inventions, right? All the things that they have done to where they're able to prosper and live by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
It deceives them. It deceives them thinking that God is not on our side,
true
Israelites, according to the Bible. Read.
That holdest the height of the hill,
mm-hmm.
that though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle.
As high as the eagle, right? The eagle, what's that's a symbol for America today,
mm-hmm.
right? Read.
I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord.
Surprise, surprise, so-called white man. Most High God is going to
bring
you down, right? Give me Psalms 10 and 2.
Yes, sir.
Psalms 10 and 2, real quick. Psalms chapter 10, verse 2.
Manifest destiny. Flip
right. That's what it is. This is the book of Psalms chapter 10 and verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor.
let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined.
So the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. And guess what you see? Us being persecuted, right, with Christianity and all this, right? Different things is going on, right? Slavery, all the curses that's back in Deuteronomy 28, right? All that's we're getting persecuted by that. And it says, let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined, right? So everything they have imagined or created and that had put towards us, guess what? They're going to have that back double. They're getting double back what they had did to us,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Let's get Deuteronomy 28 real quick.
Yes, sir.
28:49.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 49. Freedom. The Lord shall bring a nation against...
My bad. I started 15.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 15.
Freedom.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
So this is the Genesis of Deuteronomy is written to the Israelites, right? By Moses and by the Most High God, right? So it's saying that if we did not listen to the Most High God and keep his commandments, read.
To observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day,
mm-hmm.
that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
So it says all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee, right? So get verse 46.
Verse 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign
mm-hmm.
and a wonder and upon thy seed forever.
So remember this. These curses are going to be upon thy seed forever, right? So it's going to be generational. It's going to be put on us generation through generation, right?
Passed down.
Right. And so you got to ask yourself, who's putting these curses upon us? Of course, it's the Most High God mm-hmm. putting these curses upon us because we listen to his commandments. But who is he using to put these curses upon us throughout the generation through generation?
You got that in what's that in Psalms where he says it's my
the wicked my soul?
Yeah, Psalm. I think it's Psalm 17.
17?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it last night.
Yeah. Let me look for it real quick. I
could not find it at
all. Yeah.
There it is. I got it.
You got it.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 17 and verse 13.
Freedom.
Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword.
You see that? God said, like the officer was going over, he said, God said, deliver me from the wicked, or King David said, deliver me from the wicked, which is thy sword. Who's the wicked according to the Bible? Like officer was saying in the beginning, we got to read this Bible precept upon precept, because it said the wicked, right? Mm-hmm. So read that for me. Malachi. Get Malachi for the wicked. Real quick, so we can identify who the Most High is using as his sword. Because we read in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, right? And it said, curses was going to be upon us and on our seed forever. And the officer said, who is God using to play out these curses upon us, right?
What you want, officer?
Malachi 1 and verse 4.
Okay. So the book of Malachi, chapter 1 and verse 4. You want to start at 3?
Yeah, you can start there.
Verse 3. And I hated Esau.
So the topic of conversation is Esau. So God said he hated Esau. So guess what? Like we was going over earlier, the perpetual hatred that they have for us and God never changing, it's that God hated them. So that doesn't change
Bring
as well.
It out.
Read.
And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons in the wilderness.
Right.
Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down.
Here come.
And they shall call them the border of wickedness.
So guess what? They're going to call Esau, Edom, the border of wickedness. So where wickedness begins and where wickedness ends, you're going to find your friendly neighborhood white man, Edom.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go back to the Psalms.
Hey, can I finish that out?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And the people
mm-hmm.
against whom the Lord hath indignation forever.
So just like they have that perpetual hatred for us, right, that never ending, then guess what? The Most High God is against them, and that's never ending.
Bring right. it out.
So understand that. So go back to Psalms real quick okay. so we can finish that up, and then I'll give it back to the officer.
It's the book of Psalms. You want me to read it again?
Yeah, Psalms 17.
17 and verse 13.
Freedom.
Arise, O Lord, disappoint him down.
deliver my soul from the wicked.
From Edom, Edom, Esau, read.
Which is thy sword.
So the Most High is using Esau, what, to punish us.
Bring it out.
So we went against the Most High God. Like he said, you don't observe to do all my commandments. So that's why we're being punished by them.
Right.
Go ahead.
Can you give me Deuteronomy 32 and 39?
Yes, sir.
Going back off of what you had just said, right? Because all our lives, we haven't taught that, what, there's a person that was kicked out of heaven, and then he's with a red pitchfork, and then he's the one that's doing all the evil, right? And so, he has control over the world or whatever, but God is powerful and all that, but why is he letting the devil do that? You know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all.
You talk to a Christian, the devil got more power than God.
Right, exactly. It doesn't make sense, right?
It doesn't.
So read that for me.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 39. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me.
Mm-hmm.
I kill and I make alive.
Mm-hmm.
I wound and I heal.
So guess what? God is the one that's killing and make alive.
He's the one that wounds
and heals. Read.
Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
All right, so give me a 1 Samuel 2 and 6. I want to just get another precept just in case, you know, you thinking that's just one precept that we just pulling out of our butts and then we just breaking it down wrong or whatever, but there's more precepts.
Officer, like you said, man, we got to go precept upon precept
to show them,
give them the understanding because they might think, oh, no, he just scripture isolating.
Cherry picking.
Right, the Bible says what? Hey, the Lord don't change, so. It's going to be here a little and there a little,
Read, like you said.
Go ahead.
This is the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2 and verse 6.
Read
the Lord killeth and maketh alive.
There it is again.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Read.
He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up.
Uh-huh.
The Lord make and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up.
Right. What's the one where Romans 9 where it says Esau ever hated?
Yeah, Romans 9 and 13.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking about that precept.
You want that?
I thought you were going to bring it a little later.
Can I pull out 7 first?
Yeah, do what you want. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll read it for you. Romans 9,
mm-hmm.
and then you want me to start at verse 7?
Yes, sir.
All right, got you. To the book of Romans, chapter 9, of verse 7.
Freedom!
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children?
So it's telling you that just because you came out of Abraham's loins doesn't make you the children of the promise because Abraham had many kids. Read.
Mm-hmm.
But in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
So God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Isaac is the chosen seeds. Read. Mm-hmm.
That is, they which are the children of the flesh.
So if you're not Isaac's seed, then you are a child of the flesh. Read this nice and clear for me, please, officer.
These are not the children of God.
Read that again.
These are not the children of God.
So why does the Bible say that somebody's not the children of God? Continue.
But the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
So you have to be Isaac's seed, which in the last chapter explains that your spirit going to bear witness with this spirit, so that you are the children of God. But verse 13, you want me to go ahead and read it?
Yes.
There's a book of Romans chapter 9 and verse 13.
Freedom!
As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
So this is New Testament. God still hates Esau.
Bring it out.
Right? God still hates Esau. Back in the Old Testament, it's the same thing in the New Testament, right? So understand that God kills, he makes a love, and he hates, right? Let's read the next scripture. This is the main thing I wanted.
Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?
So you might ask yourself, God kills, he makes alive, and he hates. Is there a righteousness with God? Because this is, well, I didn't learn this all my life, but now I'm kind of seeing this, and it doesn't make any sense. But guess what? It does, right? Read.
Bring it out. God forbid. For he saith to...
Wait, read that again. God what?
God forbid.
So guess what? There's no unrighteousness with God.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
For he saith to Moses,
uh-huh.
I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Surprise, surprise. The Most High God picks who he wants. He chooses who he wants. It's up to him. It's not according to you, your mind, how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. It's what the Most High God wants.
It actually says that in verse 11. Can
Go
I
ahead.
Read that?
Yeah.
Verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election,
mm-hmm.
might stand.
not of works, but of him that calleth.
So guess what? It's not about what person did this or the nation or whoever, right? It was before they were born. It's who God has chosen, what he wants. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's what the Most High God had wanted. And that's how he orchestrated this world, how it is now, right? So go back to the Deuteronomy 28.
Yes, sir.
Go back to Deuteronomy 28. Let's get back to what we was talking about, right? Deuteronomy 28 and 46, right?
Yes, sir.
Back to the curses of Deuteronomy 28, because just remember, these curses in Deuteronomy 28 are a generational thing that happens to the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, right? We are the Israelites according to the Bible, right? And so these curses that's in Deuteronomy 28 lets us know who we are according to the Bible. But read that.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 46.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign.
Today is the curses. They're going to be upon us for a sign, right? We'll understand how we'll understand in this world today who the Israelites are, who the tribe of Judah is, the tribe of Ephraim, and so forth, right? All the 12 tribes will know. Read.
And for a wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And upon thy seed forever.
Upon thy seed forever. And remember in Deuteronomy 28:15, right? It says that we have to read that again.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Then if we didn't keep God's commandments, we're going to be cursed generation through generation. But what's the cheat code to breaking the generational curses? Keeping God's commandments. It says it right there in Deuteronomy 28:15, right? So give me verse 49. Let's get a curse.
Verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth.
There's that eagle again. There's that eagle again, right? Was it Rome, Spain, America today? Guess
Greece,
what? They got the eagle as their symbol, read.
A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance.
A nation of fierce countenance, right? Countenance is their face, right? They're how they present themselves, right? They have a fierce face, right? And so we're going to understand that these people, they have issues within themselves, right? These so-called white men, how they operate with us today, right?
Right.
They have a fierce countenance. Look at the eagle, right?
Right.
Just how it looks, right? Just look at it.
Right.
Look at it! just look at it, bro. It's the same thing, right? They have that face towards us, right? They hate us, right? That's that perpetual hatred, right?
Hey, really
go ahead,
quick.
Go ahead.
That's how the old white ladies be looking at you in the store.
Right.
They see black people having a good time. That's exactly how they look at
right. Right. Hey, Karen got the fierce countenance, too.
Right. Maybe the most little things that they'll call the police on saying they're scared. But you got to think about it, man. What they call the police saying they're scared, but they right there being confrontational towards us. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
It's their hatred. They're just playing the game acting like they're scared. It's just how it is. They know to play the game. That's how they play it.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of